The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, what's up, guys? The red light is on. It's Wednesday night, and it's Valentine's, but it's also UFC 298 week. Absolutely stacked, and I'm not coming alone. I'm Dave Van Auken. To my left, the fight of fight bananas, Miss Elle Dawson. Elle, how are you? Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, guys. I'm stoked that we're still doing a show because this card is way, way too good for us to skip a week of betting bananas.
Dude, it's Valentine's Day. Where else would you want to be, Elle, than just talking with me about MMA?
What else do I do? Literally nothing. Let's go.
Oh, my goodness. It's a pay-per-view week, so we are lucky enough to bring our main man. I think it's been like four or five PPVs in a row, and when we were talking, Elle and I were like, dude, we got to get Rafael back on. It's a pay-per-view week. Rafael Esparza, my man, how are you doing?
I am doing well. It is Valentine's Day week, but after I'm done here, I got a great prop bets because I have Tournament of Champions Food Network prop bets out there, so I have to watch the live show tonight, which I did talk to Bobby Flay over on Super Bowl weekend. He said that was crazy that I do Food Network betting odds, but that's another story.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. I do Food Network stuff. I do anything. I'll put eyes on it. David's on guy. He's on my email chain.
I was just going to say that. I love the emails. It's awesome. And I'm like,
I'm missing out. I need to know.
I have your email. I'll put you on the media list, but I'm sorry. Some stuff might be rough. Some stuff may be funny. Some stuff you'd be like, holy cow, people actually bet on this. Am I right, David?
You are right, my man. A Tuesday, is the moon going to come out on a Tuesday night? We bet anything. We do it all.
I'm doing Deadpool 2 odds. How many times are going to say the F word in the movie? I mean, I got that. That'll be coming out in 2 days. I'm still studying that. So, yeah, I got crazy stuff.
Very cool. All right, guys, let's get right into it. There's so much, and we talked about it yesterday, our live show. I love the main event. I love the main card. It's incredible. There might be a gem or two on the prelims, but I think we will talk a lot about probably those big four fights. Elle, start with you with your absolute best bet on this card. Let's win money and keep it moving. What's your best bet?
I have to go straight to the main event here. How often are we going to get Alexander Volkanovski at -125 at featherweight? Like, that may never happen again until it's a fight that he absolutely is not going to win. And this is such a winnable fight for Alexander Volkanovski right here. I don't want to count out Ilya Topuria. And I know, Dave, you think like this is his time and this is his moment. It very well may be. But as we saw last week and as we've seen religiously over the last several pay-per-views as well, when these young fellas are coming up against a veteran with so much cage time like Alexander Volkanovski, they aren't quite ready. And I expect Ilya's best rounds to be early in the fight. And I think as the fight goes on, the better and better that is for Alexander Volkanovski, who has just been in there with the best. He is so durable. I can't really think of a time that he got like rocked really heavily at featherweight. And I truly believe that the odds would not look anything like this if he had not taken that second fight against Islam Makhachev. If Volkanovski was coming off of a super close fight, as some people would put it, against Islam the first time, and then a crazy dominant performance over Yair Rodriguez, and then going straight into this fight, I don't think that the odds would look anything like they do right now. And I understand 4 months after getting knocked out, yes, all of these factors exist, and Dave's favorite stat ever is guys over 35 going into title fights are 2-31, but Alexander Volkanovski does not have the wear and tear on him that a lot of those other guys over 35 have. I just don't think it's time to count Alex out yet, and the value is too good not to at least bet on it.
All right, Elle, I love you. I respect you so damn much, Miss Elle Dawson. Rafael, you were just out there in Las Vegas last week for Super Bowl week, right?
Yes, I was.
When you went outside of the beautiful convention center that you guys were at or wherever you stayed, when you walked out there, did you see very, very tall buildings everywhere you go in Las Vegas?
Yes, I did. The lights are always on.
They're always on. They always pay their bills on time. The electric bill, the water bill is paid on time because they win. Why is old Alexander Volkanovski such a just barely slight favorite? Because I think Las Vegas knows this is it. This is time. Poirier is a real one. He is a bona fide, will be world champion. This is it. It's happening Saturday night, guys. Poirier is going to get the job done. I feel really confident about it. The one, Urch, I agree with you, Al. There's a lot of, you know, fourth, fifth round at sea. The thing I would say is I've never seen – what happened if Volkanovski goes wrestling heavy? Like, hey, let's not strike with this guy. Poirier's got a masterful jab, masterful boxing skills. Let's wrestle him. Let's wrestle him for 25 minutes, a boring fight, but let's win and keep moving. That would scare me a little bit if he tells me that's my game plan, because we just really haven't seen it with Poirier. We haven't seen him defend – wrestling right. for 25 minutes. And I think Volkanovski is the better grappler. But if he stands with this man, especially in the first 7 minutes, I think Poirier is going to put him out. I think he's going to put him out quick. I got Poirier, TKO, and new winning the championship. Rafael, am I crazy? What's up?
Well, Al nailed it. The longer this fight goes, the better for Volkov. You were right. The jab has to go for Poirier if he wants to win early. But the longer if this goes past the second, third round, Poirier is done, because Volkanovski is just going to wrestle and win the third, fourth, and fifth, and win maybe a split decision or something like that.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I like the over-under prop. If I haven't pulled the trigger on who I like on this one, I like the experience, even though he's 35, because I think it's going to go over the round prop. I think it's going to go over 3.5 rounds. So if that's the case, then I'm sorry. Give me a 35-year-old experience that I think he's going to – he learned. Because this would have been close, probably minus 160, 165, if he didn't lose his last fight. I mean, the way he looked against Rodriguez, he looked – he didn't look like 34. I think he was only 34 at the time. I don't remember. But he didn't look like that 34-year-old. He was wrestling. He was taking punches. He was staying a distance because Rodriguez had the length on him, had the jab length on him. The longer this fight goes, David, I would be worried. But I'm like L. If this fight goes long, I think Volkov still is the champ.
My thing here – oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, just a real quick analogy. I think it's perfect. Alexander Volkanovski, a pound-for-pound type of guy. How about Kamaru Usman, a pound-for-pound type, one of the great welterweights of all time, gets TKO'd, and that's it. Three straight losses for now, Kamaru Usman. In MMA, when you're at the top level, and when you get in those mid-30s and getting later, and you lose one, especially via a knockout, that's it. You go down, and you go down quick. This is a hard-ass, cold sport. And I think Poirier, I just don't think he's a flashy up-and-comer type. I think he is the guy. I think he is one of those McGregor, O'Malley types. I think he's really, really legitimate. I got Poirier, but El, please rebuttal.
No, my rebuttal to that is that there's two big asterisks on the comparison between Volk and Usman. One is that Usman had a lot more miles on him. Yes. He was already having knee, hip problems. Like, I feel like we had started to see him slow down already, and it was in his own weight class. When you lose in your weight class, it's a whole lot different than, man, I took a big risk, short notice, went up against one of the pound for pound greats, and I just came up a little short. I think that doesn't wear on you mentally in the same way. And with Poirier, I absolutely think the UFC is making the right decision, putting him in this title shot spot right now before there's an opportunity for a Max Holloway, a Yair Rodriguez, or an Arnold Allen to get rid of him as a contender, because we need those contenders. We need those young guys to fight Volk, because we've seen Volk fight all these other guys. So I think it's the right decision, but my hesitation comes where we just haven't seen Poirier in a fight like that before, with somebody who can fight back with him. Like, we've barely seen him see adversity so far. And Dave made a really good point yesterday on the live show where he's like, you don't know what you don't know. And it's like, yeah, maybe he just doesn't know how to lose. And that might be really great for him. But let's say he does empty his tank in the first two rounds and he can't put Volkanovski away. Can he keep that same pace? And will he be able to keep that same mental game going through rounds 3, 4, 5 as Volk starts to find his pace? Can he handle somebody, you know, hammering back at him? That's what we just haven't seen yet from Ilya Topuria.
Now, for a betting perspective, if you like Volkanovski, I would say wait. I mean, this number opened up minus 145, and I think it's going to continue to come down. I would not be shocked if we see minus 120, maybe minus 117. I don't think minus 115 that low would go, but I would say wait. Maybe wait to see what the weigh-in does, the numbers do on that one. I don't see him going way back up to minus 155. No way, because I know the books are heavy on the challenger as of right now.
There we go. I love that. Thank you, Rafael. Curtis threw that out there about Romov, Kopyov, about an underdog. That Curtis is a really good MMA journalist. That gets us right into our best underdog. El, you even said Roman earlier yesterday on the live show. Is he still your betting bananas underdog, or do you got someone else?
No, Curtis nailed it. Absolutely. I feel like this should have been a pick'em fight on the odds. And to see such a wide line between Roman Kopylov and Fluffy here, I think like plus 215 is great value for Roman Kopylov. There are absolutely some issues that Roman Kopylov could have fighting a guy like Fluffy Hernandez with his cardio. Kopylov can slow down. He showed some issues with his grappling in the Duraev fight. I know he also got submitted by Carl Robertson, but I don't see that as a I didn't see that as a discrepancy with his grappling so much as he was just absolutely gassed. It was his debut. He got his ass beat for three full rounds. And then he, you know, he got taken down and he was broken at that point. I feel like Duraev is a much better wrestler with much better control than Anthony Hernandez. Here's an Anthony Hernandez stat for you. The dude averages 7 takedowns a round. Sorry, a fight. What that means is that he's not holding you down. Like that's a lot of takedowns. But that also, if you really look between read between the lines there, it means that he's not taking you down, taking you back and you're back and controlling you for that entire round. So if Kopylov, who is very tough, as he showed in the Duraev fight, that fight absolutely could have been stopped. He was in several submission attempts. If he didn't get finished by Duraev in that fight, and we've seen him just do increasingly better with his takedown defense since that fight, I don't see that happening here either. I think Hernandez likely will win the third round because he has cardio for days and Kopylov does not. But I expect Kopylov to really, if he does not finish him in the first two rounds, he will win them convincingly. And you get enough value with the money line there. I watched both guys fight Fremd today earlier. And man, Fremd had a close fight. Like he had some moments where he almost finished Anthony Hernandez on a short notice debut. And man, Kopylov absolutely annihilated Fremd. Right. Like and his kicks are so fast. Go ahead.
You know, MMA math sometimes doesn't make sense, but that's a great point. Great stat. And I will double down on that stat, Rafael. You understand this. Ric Flair was a 16-time world champion, but that means he had to lose it 16 times. You know, Fluffy Hernandez, that's a lot of takedowns, but goddamn, hold the man down. Get a submission. You're letting him up 7 times if you're getting him down 7. So I like that. Rob, do you like that underdog? Is there another underdog you like on the main card or on the prelims? What are you looking at as an underdog?
That one scares me because not public money came in because this one opened up Anthony minus 180 and quickly got bet up. But it was sharp money. It wasn't public money. It was sharp money. So when sharp money comes like that and moves it 60, 65 cents.
They know something.
Then I take a little bit step back. Okay, what am I not seeing? What am I not hearing? What am I not reading? Stuff like that. I like it. But like I said, when I see that type of fluctuation with money coming in, then I have to take a step back and say, you know what? Let me just watch this, enjoy it, and hopefully the bosses don't kill me if we get crushed. But I'm sticking with the ladies because who won last time I was on here? I'm trying to think. Who did I have? I can't remember who she won the belt. So brand new, has a brand new baby. Oh, right, Raquel Pennington. Yeah, she was almost a 3-to-1 dog. Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I cashed on that one. And I'm sticking with the ladies. I'm going to take a Brazilian. A Brazilian's going to win this one. Mackenzie Dern, because they're both Brazilian. But I'm going to take Mackenzie Dern. I know she split her last 4 fights. Both of them are coming off losses, bad losses, I believe, too. I thought their egos not only lost, but when they both lost, got out of the octagon, you could see, like, their egos they were still in the octagon when they were walking out of the octagon. I think they were both just a little shell-shocked. I think Mackenzie Dern, I just think the height is going to bother Lemos. I think I know Lemos has the better jab, quicker and all that, but I think the grappling and is going to be the reason why I think Mackenzie Dern wins this one. I'm going to take plus money. I was a little shocked that I was going to get plus 125, and it's going upwards. It went down. She opened up, Lemos opened up as minus 260. Tons of money came in on Mackenzie, and now it's coming back up on that one. So I'm going to stick with the plus money on the ladies, and hopefully I can go 2-for-2 so then I can come back and do my Ric Flair. Woo! Cash 2 tickets.
Does the last fight for these girls not concern you? Like, you have Lemos, who went to a decision with Chang.
It does.
Mackenzie Dern, who really struggled with the striking of Jessica Andrade. And Lemos has that power. I think
Andrade's power is a little bit more powerful. I think hers is a little bit more. And Andrade goes to the body first and then headshots, which I don't think Lemos does. I think that's what bothered, because Mackenzie's a taller fighter. So yeah. I thought the body punches really hurt her. In that one, but I am, but like I said, I just think here's another one. The longer this fight goes, the better for me, because I think she's going to be throwing out a lot of punches, and she might gas out. So I think maybe the grappling can help out.
Especially if you gas out against a grappler, that's misery. That's where you get submitted late second, early third. So all right, 2 dogs. That's kind of conversate about one. I think I'm leaning. The more it goes into the week, and me and Elle talked about this. I think I'm all on Jeff Neal this week. I don't know what
it is. I almost picked that.
Dude, Jeff Neal is one of those guys. He loses to maybe guys he shouldn't. He fights nothing but the best guys. But when Jeff Neal is on, when he's on, there's almost no one better in the world. Like, he's just one of those types. And I hate to say it. I hate to go there. The man wore your shirt where you were, you know, with a DUI. Like, I think there's some bad blood. There's something, you don't poke the bear. You don't poke Kobe Bryant. You don't poke the bear. I think Ian Garry went wrong here by poking Jeff Neal. I think he's going to get it done. I can see a TKO. I think Jeff Neal kind of shocks the world. I like Jeff Neal a lot. Then one above him, Henry Cejudo and Merab Dvalishvili. I kind of want to go, I really want both your takes, because, like, I see both sides, right? So let's just start with Henry. Henry's a big dog. That's like Henry Cejudo, an underdog that's wild. He just fought Aljamain Sterling 9 months ago for the championship, and it was a split decision. Like, one judge had him winning. The other judge was 1.1 round away. If one judge gets it the other round, Cejudo's the champ, and he's back. And, you know, he's against anyone, he would be the favorite, I would assume. So I think it's wild that we're so high and that low. But Merab's a monster. Like, I get it. I absolutely understand it. But I will say this, and my last thing on Merab, his last 3 fights, Jan, Jose, and Marlon Moraes, not grappler types, right? Not like wrestling-based types. And Henry Cejudo has a goddamn gold medal around his neck. So, like, I'm really intrigued to see that fight. I think I'm leaning Merab, but, like, I do not like the juice. Like, I think if I'm going to bet on it, I think I bet Cejudo, because, plus I think last time I saw 245, 230. So I like Cejudo, and I think I like Jeff Neal with the TKO.
Cejudo, yeah, the retirement talk came out today.
Yeah,
He said if he loses, he's probably.
If he loses, because I think he knows, like, what am I doing? If I lose to Merab, I'm out.
When you say that, and Al, you would probably say that. When you say that coming into a fight, then you haven't doubt already coming into the fight. So I don't like that. I used to, boxers used to tell me that all the time when I was in Chicago and when I was doing odds for stuff like that, for like Golden Gloves and all that. And trainers would always tell me that, like, if you hear the R word coming out of an older fighter before the fight, they have doubt, and I think that's why the money came flooding in today. I mean, boom, I saw not one but 2 good in the 5-digit money come in against him. And I just think people see that, hey, if there's a doubt in your eyes already,
yeah,
they don't want to hear that, especially money doesn't.
I don't like that that talk either, even from a guy like Henry Cejudo. Actually, especially from a guy like Henry Cejudo.
I was shocked. I was shocked to read that.
Yeah, I feel like he's not happy unless he's competing. And that's why I think he's going to be involved in the sport forever, whether it's coaching. Like, I feel like that's why he had immediately, as soon as he retired the first time, he immediately was like, oh, I'm going to build a team of world champions. Like, I have to coach. And then I think he probably got the itch. He saw, you know, the belt changing hands, things like that. And he's like, oh, I should come back. So it's a with all of that, I agree. I don't like hearing that from a guy who I know loves to compete so much. It's like, I agree with you. That kind of worries me too. I also, the cage wrestling in the Aljo fight was a huge, huge benefit to Aljo here. And I think Rob is one of the best on the cage.
Yeah, I think his cage wrestling is
so good. And so that little factor, it's a really close fight. I'm kind of on Dave's side here where it's like, okay, this is a pick 'em. So should I just put plus money at least a little bit, you know, because but I'm with you all the way on Jeff Neal. Ian Garry going up to him, trying to be his buddy.
Yeah.
Don't like it out.
Like, it's not Ian Garry. It's wrong. Yeah. I think it just goes to show that he's still not mentally recovered from all that negative public attention he was getting. Otherwise he would be out there and he would be willing to accept some of that negativity coming his way. And he's not, he's so quiet. And I don't, new camp, new personality, too many new things against a guy like Jeff Neal after what he did to freaking Vicente Luque, who I still think would have crushed Ian Garry that night. I love Neal here. I think it's a great underdog.
I agree. I'm a southpaw myself. The only thing that bothers me when I watch Neal, for some odd reason, his punches seem like they're the slowest punches in the world when he throws his left hand of it. But they're powerful. It's just so slow. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, but I agree with you. I'm a big Neal fan. Again, like I said, I'm a southpaw myself. So, Ian Garry, I think he may be physically ready, but I don't think he's mental ready.
I know this sounds so stupid. Like, I would think the game itself, we've seen champions that are not chiseled out of stone, out of granite. Like, you know, of course, it helps and all that nature. But I think in MMA, where you at mentally and how hungry you are. And that's one reason I do like Merab. Like, Henry Cejudo has made millions of dollars. He's been a champion three times over and all that stuff. Merab has never got that. Like, he's so hungry for that. If he beats Cejudo, the UFC needs to be like, there's no way he doesn't get the title shot. He got the jacket from Sugar Sean O'Malley. If O'Malley takes care of Vera, it's so simple. Merab and Sugar Sean, probably late in the summer, maybe early fall. So I think Merab has a lot to fight for this Saturday night. All right, a lot of underdogs there. Even the first fight of the night, Andrea Lee, Miranda Maverick. But let's go three-fight parlay. L. Dawson used to be absolute money. It was like 2023, and L. Dawson was doing three-fight parlays like left and right. My kids had so many. My girls had like dresses for Easter, dresses for Valentine's.
L's driving a new car every month. I mean,
I do got a new one, but we'll talk about that at another time. But my girls, we haven't got a dress in like 6 weeks, Elle. Can we get a 3-5 parlay?
I'm trying. I have a good feeling. I have a good feeling about this. It made me feel good that you agreed with me on this earlier, Raphael. But I have the main event goes the over 3.5.
Yep. Oh, that was mine.
That is my first leg. I think whoever wins that fight, I absolutely think it is either going to be a very late finish or a decision. Like I said earlier, I expect Ilya to be really tough early. And I think that obviously Volkanovski is not the biggest finisher at featherweight. Like, we've seen him finish fights, but he is an absolute master at just the way he adjusts in fights. His in-fight adjustments and his fight IQ and his range control and his pace are just so good. So I expect both guys to be able to fight for 5 rounds. I just expect Volk to be able to fight a little bit better for 5 rounds. But the main event's going the over with no winner on that pick. And then Robert Whittaker is going to get it done over Paulo Costa. Okay. I honestly, this was another line where I was like, this is closer than it probably should be. I understand Whittaker's coming off of a loss. But man, the dude is so well-rounded. I've heard a lot of people are like, oh, he's washed because he lost to the champ. But DDP is huge. He's got cardio for days, and he's world-class at making you look bad. And Paulo Costa,
like, you just don't know. You don't know what you are in there for. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what is happening? It's just he fights a wonky style.
No, and he's so hard to fight. He's so hard to fight. And Paulo Costa doesn't throw the volume that DDP throws. Whitaker, his footwork and his movement are going to keep him safe for the first round. And then he's going to do whatever he wants in rounds two and three. I think he can out-wrestle, out-strike, just out-vet Paulo Costa here. And once again, the longer the fight goes on here, the better it is for Whitaker. And he just, in my opinion, he just has to survive those first three, 4 minutes. And I don't expect
Costa. Leg kicks are going to be huge for Whitaker in this one. Because Costa is just, I don't want to say he's slow, but if you can get him in his legs early, he gets very cautious and he starts going to the other leg. And then he's off balance the whole fight.
Right. 100%. And he plods. He plods. Like, he's either... He's stationary or he's exploding. Like, Whitaker is always moving. He has such great movement, and he's very elusive with the way he strikes and that in and out movement. I think he's going to bait Paulo Costa in. He's going to land the bigger shots. I would expect it to go to a decision for Whitaker, but I mean, I could see a later finish as well there, but just Whitaker at the money line. And then I have an underdog for my third leg.
Nice.
I really like Brenson Ribeiro over Jean Young. I was really looking at some of these guys' previous films. I know these guys are both, like, they're both new to the UFC, so it can be hard to find film on both of them. But looking at their strength of schedules and who they fought, Zhang Mingyang's strength of schedule is rough. Like, lots of losing records, lots of guys with very few fights. And, man, Brenson Ribeiro has fought some tough dudes. Like, he has taken some tough fights outside the UFC, and I commend him for that. And he had a tough fight on Contender Series as well in Bruno Lopez, and a heavy hitter at that too. Bruno Lopez is a, like, dude has power and really phenomenal and, like, fantastic grappling and great finishing ability. And he dealt with him. He moves so much. I feel like he'll be able to deal with that early onslaught of Zhang Mingyang. And I think Zhang is just a shotgun blast. Like, I think he's going to burn himself out in that first round. And I think that Brenson will put him away, but just him at the money line is enough value for me. Also, just another little tidbit. Zhang lost to, I always forget his name, but the guy who faked his record and it turns out and got signed somehow and then lost to Alonzo Menifield. And it turns out his record is like 18 and 13. It's like really, really bad. Yeah. He beat Zhang a couple of years back, and I was looking at that fight, and man, I don't think he's quite UFC caliber yet. I think he needs to get rid of some of the mistakes that he's making in the cage. He's getting away with those mistakes at the level of guys that he's fighting right now. His last fight, man, he fought with his hands down the whole time, and the guy was throwing. He wasn't explosive like Brenson Ribeiro was. He wasn't longer like Brenson Ribeiro is. And he didn't have the same power that Ribeiro has. So I don't think he's going to be able to fight the way he fights against a guy like Ribeiro. And he's pretty good odds as well. Pretty good value.
Yeah, plus 100. So let's add those up. Volkan Topuria over 3.5. Whitaker on the W. And the underdog Brenson Ribeiro to win. That's plus 390. I like that. Plus a little $390, $10 to win $39. If you're a Dave Van Auken type, you might put a hundo on it to win $390. Rolf, I put $500 on the Niners on Sunday. I'm dying over here.
I had the Niners as well. So it was brutal.
I've been digging ditches all week, Rolf. Yeah, I got a third job just to pay off my 49ers bet.
I was on a strip collecting cans from Tropicana all the way to Bellagio, just collecting cans to help pay off that one.
So how do you like that parlay plus 390? Is that enough?
I love the Whitaker play. I love the Whitaker play. And then we already talked about the overplay on that one. So yeah, I'm gonna look into the other one that Ribeiro's doing. But I didn't really dissect in that one and stuff like that. I'm gonna definitely see if I can find some tape on it as well.
How about you do over 3.5 top and Volk? You go with Whitaker, then you might even slide in Mackenzie Dern for a little bit more juice over Ribeiro if you're high on Mackenzie Dern.
Well, first of all, I don't parlay, so you know my rules on that one. But I have to see if they go 2-2. I have to see if I can go 2-2 for the ladies so I can come back on UFC 299. Maybe UFC 300, if you ever find out there is going to be a main event, to talk to Dana White on Super Bowl weekend. It was hilarious and stuff like that. But it should be interesting for what's going on at that
one. No one knows what the main event is. I'm over it. I'm like, I just want them to just say it's Gaethje and Max Holloway. Don't add another fight. Let's just move on. Like, I'm over it. I really am. Like, this has been a mystery that, like, it's a movie, and it's like you, all of a sudden they give you the end, and it's like, eh? Like, I don't know. I got a bad feeling.
One of the Fertittas told me over the weekend, says, if this was back in the early 2000s, we would have had this announced 2 months. It would have been Lesnar, Rousey, something like that. We would have had posters, shirts selling already like they did in 100 and 200, which I was at both events. He's like, these days of fighters. And he gave me a wink, and he just walked away.
Like I told you, a birdie told me that it was Tom Aspinall. Tom Aspinall is pretty locked for that main event spot. And they worked hard for Lesnar, and then everything happened to him. They were working really hard for Fedor Emelianenko. That didn't happen. You know, there's been a lot of talks with Alex, you know, and it looks like he doesn't want to move up. He's going to main event 301, I hear, for the light heavyweight championship. So I don't
Put the Bloodline versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins and bring Dean Ambrose back. We'll have a triple threat and a cage match. That'd be fantastic.
L. Dawson didn't get one word of that, but bro, it was amazing. That was good stuff.
You're speaking Spanish to me. I'll be honest. I have no desire to see Brock Lesnar or Fedor. Maybe Brock. Fedor's needs to not fight.
I heard his knee's really, really bad right now.
Brock's?
Fedor.
Everything on Fedor is really bad right now.
That's true. Good point. Good point.
He's not fighting again. El, tell me if you're totally disappointed. That is very logical, makes sense. It's a fight that they can make. And tell me, but if would you be super mad? First one, Aspinall versus Ciryl Gane. Would you be just totally bummed? Okay.
Yeah. That's second one.
The other one, Leon Edwards and Bilal. Are you just totally bummed for that?
I'd be less bummed for Leon and Bilal. Okay. Both fights are going to be boring, but at least one will be a boring welterweight fight, which is always going to be more exciting than a boring heavyweight fight.
Yeah, I agree on that.
Aspinall starches Ciryl Gane really early, which would be the only way that fight is not the most boring Ciryl Gane fight of all time.
All right. We went over 30 minutes on Valentine's. Guys, UFC 298 Saturday night, absolutely stacked. Volkanovski, Topuria, Whitaker, Costa, Cejudo, Merab, and then Ian Garry is going to get knocked out by Jeff Neal. I don't know. You heard it here from Fight Bananas. Rafael, anything off? Anything else? I know you're doing a lot of things lately, podcasting, you're doing all types of stuff.
Yes. Off the top, like I said, my new show, NGBN TV, I talked about that. We launched it more on over at Super Bowl Media Week. Had a lot of interviews, Steve Largent, Jerry Rice, talking NFL. My cat just jumped on my video right here. talking to NFL guys about mental health and stuff like that was such eye-opening, and how they handled getting out of the taking off the pads and being a normal life and stuff like that was very eye opening. And hearing other like big man, like these 250 pounds, 6'6" guys talking about how they can't handle not the competitiveness anymore, or they made mad investments. And it was just eye opening and stuff like that. And they tell me they're on my email chains too. Like, some days we read your odds on movies and stuff like that, and I get a laugh early in the morning. And one football player, I'm not going to mention his name, he goes, when I was reading your AVN Porn Award odds, he goes, I had a horrible evening and I didn't want to get out of bed, and I was just looking through my phone and I was laughing so hard just that you had to do all that. He's like, he goes, I want to say thank you for getting me out of bed that day. So, like I said, I was glad that I got to talk to those guys. It was eye-opening, but it was very fun.
Very cool. Very cool. Real quick before we do leave, this UFC 298, Jillian the Savage Robertson has a free giveaway. Go on our Instagram or her Instagram. Pick the three winners, the Merab fight, the Whitaker fight, and the Volkanovski fight. If you get them right and we pick you, Jillian the Savage Robertson, we're going to send you a shirt right to your house. You tell us what size you want. We're sending it to you. Next month for UFC 299, we might have someone else. Maybe a loving husband of L. Dawson doing that.
Ooh, hope I can do it.
We need you every pay-per-view, Raphael. This is a great tradition. We need to keep this up. Also, Saturday, come join Immortals Fight Club and MMA Bet Club on X. We do a space every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern. So if you don't like our picks, you can join and hear the rest of the crew's picks as well before you place your final bet. So please join us.
What's going on with live train? I saw a really nice IG video of yourself kicking windows and stuff.
Well, it's clearly old because I am not kicking anything these days. But so Live Trained is also live as well. You can take some of my classes on their site. MMA. I have a band series. It's like just MMA fitness. So there's some MMA elements and some lifting elements and just weight training elements as well. So yeah, please go check those out. They're a lot of fun.
Are they good for 50-year-old men who just sit around and read all day and just statistics
they're
all day?
Very beginner friendly. Body weight, you don't have to have any equipment. Yeah, do it and send me a video because I definitely want to see that.
You don't want to see that. That'd be America's funniest videos. You don't want to see that.
We're all plugging. So last plug, March 2nd, Game Bread Bare Knuckle MMA in Orlando, Florida at the Kia Center. I just had a really good phone call with people with Game Bread earlier today. You want to be here in Orlando. We might do two or three funky, out-of-the-box, different stuff where there might be a cage all around Orlando, Florida. So make sure you come Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's going to be some fun stuff. You might see yours truly on the hot mic. So going to be great Saturday, March 2nd. But, guys, enjoy UFC 298. Rafael Esparza, thank you so much. The Ruthless One, L. Dawson, I'm Dave Van Auk. We'll see you guys next Wednesday night here at Ben and Bananas.